The following is Deb Gelman's talk, The Art and Science of the Preattentive Variable, from the 2015 Information Architecture Summit.
For those of you who don't know, I do a lot of work with kids and designing for kids, and I'm a firm believer that the best way to learn is through play. So before we get started on the presentation, we're going to play. And that means you all have to stand up. Yeah, you too. You guys ready to pop?
Yes.
Right. That was anticlimactic. Here we go.
Hey, Neil.
Hey, what?
Are you ready?
For what?
To pop.
Pop what?
Popsico.
My hands are high, my feet are low, and this is how I popsico.
My hands are high, his feet are low, and this is how he popsico.
Pop. Popsico, pop, popsico, popsico, pop, popsico.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, what?
Are you ready?
For what? To pop.
Pop what?
Popsico. My hands are high,
my feet are low, and this is how I popsico.
His hands are high, his feet are low, and this is how he popsicos.
Popsico, pop, popsico, popsico, pop, popsico.
Hey, Jeb.
Hey, what?
Are you ready?
For what?
To pop.
Pop what?
Popsico.
My hands are high, my feet are low, and this is how I popsico.
His hands are high, his feet are low, and this is how he popsico.
Popsico.
Pop, popsico. Popsico. Pop, popsico.
Hey, Clarence.
Hey, what?
Are you ready?
For what?
To pop.
Pop what?
Popsico.
My hands are high, my feet are low, and
everyone can do this.
His hands are high, his feet are low, and this is how he popsico.
Popsico, pop, popsico. Popsico, pop, popsico.
Hey, hot dog.
What?
Hey, what? Are you ready?
For what?
To pop.
Pop what?
Popsico.
You know what to do.
My feet are low, and this is how I popsico.
Oh, and this is how she popsicos. Popsico, pop, popsico, pop. Sicko, pop, pop, sicko.
Hey, class.
Hey, what?
Are you ready?
For what?
To pop.
Pop what?
Popsicko.
Do something,
your
anything.
Hands
are high,
your feet are low.
There you go.
Show us how you popsicko.
Our hands are high, our feet are low, and this is how we popsicko.
Popsicko,
pop, popsicko. Popsicko, pop, popsicko.
Yay!
Yay! That was awesome. Whoever said IAs can't dance was mistaken. And now we learn. I actually learned something really interesting myself. I had the video up and I was testing out the audio. And one of the gentlemen who works here was like, "It's Neil and Brian." Apparently they are Minneapolis locals. And they have this band called Cuckoo Kangaroo. And they do videos for kids to get them active during the day. And my daughter's class, her kindergarten class, watches these regularly to get them relaxed, motivated, and playful so that they can learn for the day. So we're going to talk about something super interesting today, the art and science of the pre-attentive variable. Now, it sounds a little bit lofty, a little bit academic, but every single one of you in the room has used the pre-attentive variable at some time or other during either your work, your navigation, your play, you use it every day. So let's get a little bit of information about what that means. I'm going to start with a story. When I was in grad school, it was like my second day, I was on my way to class and I hear a voice behind me, "Wendy, Wendy, wait up." My name's not Wendy. I kept walking and the voice got louder, "Wendy, Wendy, Wendy." And I kind of did one of these, like, you know, what's going on? But I kept walking, again, name's not Wendy. Tap, tap, tap on my shoulder, "Wendy, why didn't you wait for me?" I turn around, and there is a woman who would soon become a close friend of mine, Wei Luo Ping, who had just moved to Atlanta, Georgia from Taiwan. I said, "Wei, it's Deb, we met yesterday." She goes, "Oh man, I'm really sorry. All Caucasian people look the same to me." And I said, I get it, you know, that's cool, let's go to class. It turns out there was another woman in our class named Wendy who looked like this. And I pretty much looked like this even back in 1996. This actually isn't Wendy, but it's a picture that I found of somebody who looks like Wendy, or at least what Wendy looked like back in that year. So needless to say, I was a little bit surprised. But what I experienced was the pre-attentive variable. Wei had seen the color of my skin. Her mind processed that before it processed any other visual information about me. She thought of Wendy. She thought I was Wendy. And we're going to take a little bit of a look at why that happens and talk about ways we can use this concept of the pre-attentive variable to our advantage as designers and information architects. So what is a pre-attentive variable anyway? I'm glad you asked. This is my non-dictionary definition. A pre-attentive variable is a visual characteristic of an element that people notice before they notice that they're even noticing. In this story with Wei, again, she noticed the color of my skin, her brain just unconsciously noted it, and she thought I was Wendy. We're going to talk about 8 kinds of pre-attentive variables today, and we're going to talk about some real-world examples of how we can apply them. Size, wow, that's a tiny type. Speaking of size, I hope you all can read that, but size, shape, color, texture, which is kind of hard to see, but it's the third one down, prominence, focus, orientation, and density. You don't have to write all this down. I'll make these slides available. I see a lot of you furiously taking notes. I talk really fast, so don't stress yourselves out. I'll make sure that the deck is available after the presentation. So we're going to take a look at each one of these and talk about ways that we can use these pre-attentive variables in our work. So let's start with size. Don't believe what they tell you. It matters. Sorry, is that in violation of the code of conduct? Okay. I didn't even think of that until I just saw that slide. So when is size important? Size is important when you want to draw people's attention to a particular aspect of an experience. And in my experience, size seems to work best when you're dealing with numbers. Numbers which you need people to hone in on particular ones. A great example of this is test results. Financial services, if somebody makes a withdrawal and is overdrawn, how do we make that more prominent? We can use size. Even data entry, what next field you're on to enter information, you can use size for this. Let's take an example. So here's a very hard to read screenshot of a blood test report, a comprehensive blood report. To a doctor, you know, I see something that's bold, but it's all kind of running together for me. What if I were to use size to make the important stuff stick out a little bit better, like an abnormality or a high level of something? Here's an example of how that might be done. So if I'm a doctor and I look at 8 billion of these a day, I can quickly look on here and say, hey, Emily's bilirubins are high. It's a problem. So using size when you're dealing with numbers that are important for people to act on is a good way to incorporate that concept. We're halfway through, so I'm going to hurry. Talking about shape, how can we use shapes? Well, shapes are really effective when you're designing catalogs or e-commerce experiences, maps, or signs and wayfaring devices. Here's a screenshot from a shopping mall map in South Africa. What sticks out in your mind? And you can say it's the big pink parking lot, because that stuck out in my mind first, too. But there's a star right there in the middle, and that tells me where I am. That orients me. So there's a ton of color in here. There's a ton of shapes, but that one different shape is what helps me locate myself and navigate them all. You can use shapes in interesting ways to show location, context, and navigation. Color. So here's the thing about color. Color is the strongest of all pre-attentive variables. It is the thing that your mind unconsciously notices first about an element, an experience, or a person. Why don't I have color first? Why can't we rely on color? Color, unfortunately, has been tortured for so long that it has become almost meaningless. So it's always good to use color alongside other variables as well. Color is really effective when used for scheduling, lists, things that are due on a certain day. You can use color to highlight those. Again, commerce, catalogs, and pretty much everything. Again, if you're designing for accessibility, you have to be sure that you're colorblind compliant. But it can be a very effective tool. And in many of the examples we're going to look at, we'll see that color is used in conjunction with another of these pre-attentive variables. But color is always the thing that people notice first. Here's a screenshot from what looks like fruit salad to me, but it is a doctor's scheduling tool. This shows the doctors what patients they have on what day. Now, what's the problem with this? The problem with this is that I don't immediately associate yellow to Belinda Black. I see yellow, and that doesn't have any meaning for me. I see that I have something there, but why is that yellow versus green? There's not a whole lot of information being presented here beyond the color. A better example of this is something like this. Everything in color reflects a new patient, and the color are reflective of the condition the patient is coming in to be seen for. So the blue is depression, the green is heartburn, the red is a cough, and the yellow is migraine. There's still a little learning that has to happen here on the part of the doctor, right? Like, I'm not going to be like, oh, if it's yellow, it must be migraine. That is so clear. I'm going to have to learn it. But because there's two different things being communicated here, and the color is used to communicate one of those very important things, it's an effective mechanism for the design of this piece. Next up is texture. Texture is a tricky one. Texture is really best for maps, diagrams, and flows. And as information architects, when we're designing site maps that we think maybe a client or a developer might print out, texture becomes very important because people may not have color printers. They may not feel like investing that much money into a printout of a site map. But you can get really creative with textures to show differences in phase, differences in functionality, differences in location. My favorite example of this is old maps. The artists who designed some of these older maps were absolute geniuses. And here is a map of my hometown, the city of Philadelphia. Look at all the textures here. The city center is that grid in the middle, which is a kind of shaded in texture. The river, I don't know if you can see it from where you're sitting, but you can see the lines in the river to communicate motion and movement. The farms are on the outside, and then there's this little area over here by the Schuylkill that are woods. So they not only have communicated the layout of the city, they've also been able to communicate the topography of the city itself. And your eye goes right into that city center, or right into those woods, because those are the things they want you to focus on. Prominence. Prominence is a really important design pattern to use for e-commerce, especially if there's a particular product or line of products that you want to push. It's great for sites that focus on design, art, and news. One of my weaknesses, in addition to old maps, is handbags. And I spend a lot of time on the Neiman Marcus website looking at very expensive handbags that I can't possibly afford. So if we look at an example from this site, you'll see right in the middle is the new handbag line by Christian Louboutin. It's a pretty cool looking bag. I hone right into that. And as a consumer, it makes me excited to buy that. And that's the most prominent thing on the screen to me, and that is the pre-attentive variable. That gets my attention. Focus is our next one. Focus is a really important concept when we're dealing with games or procedural tasks or special audiences. When you're dealing with children with autism, when you're dealing with any kid under the age of 5, you need to put focus on the foreground and blur the background out so that they can focus on the task at hand. And here's a screenshot from a game called Jungle Junction, Ellie's Coconut Parade. And if you see the background, it's blurred out. So if I'm a 5-year-old, I look right at that blue elephant and I know exactly what I'm supposed to do. That's where my navigation has to happen. That's where my focus needs to be. By blurring out the background and putting focus on the foreground, that's the pre-attentive variable that helps me direct my attention. Orientation, this was a really tricky one. It was really tricky to find examples of this. But it becomes really important when you're thinking about to-do lists. Again, catalogs, where there's an important thing that you want people to notice and purchase. Also with diagrams, you can change the orientation of some of your shapes when you're doing sitemaps or user journeys to get people's attention. And here's an example from Scholastic. See how that thing at the bottom is tilted? 5 wild nonfiction books, right? Like, my eye goes right to that. It's also very large, but it also is at an interesting slant, which makes me hone in on that and think about what I want to do in that space, whether or not I want to buy a book about cheetahs. And finally, we can talk about density. Density is the boldness, you got my joke there, or the saturation of an element. This is a great tool for curated lists, when things are available, when things aren't available, schedules, travel, and data collection. We're going to look at an example from our friends at US Airways. Look at how the weekends are shaded, right? My eye goes right to that, because I'm probably going to want to leave on a Saturday if I'm planning a week vacation and return on a Saturday. So my eyes go right to that right-hand column, and I see that those weekends are shaded out. So it makes it easy for me to plan what days I'm going to take off from work, what days I don't have to take off from work, where the weekends are, and where my work days are. So that's how you would use density to communicate information as part of the pre-attentive processing that your users have.
Thanks a lot, Deborah. Let's give her a round of applause.
If you enjoyed this podcast from the 2015 IA Summit, subscribe and check out the full collection at library.iasummit.org and on iTunes. The 2015 IA Summit podcasts are brought to you by the UIE All You Can Learn Library. The All You Can Learn Library will give you the skills and techniques you need for a competitive design advantage with 24/7 access to experts and UX topics. For more information, visit aycl.uie.com. That's aycl.uie.com. As always, thanks for listening.